Okay, perfect. Right, do you want to tell me a bit about yourself, Nat? Because this is the first time we're talking. So yeah.
Definitely. All right, so Nat Cole, been around in the Bitcoin space probably around 10 years on a personal level, just over 10 years maybe.
It's a long time.
And then professionally for roughly around 8 years. Started off in just orange pilling people, using Zappo, orange pilling businesses. Stepped it up into that, and then stepped into consultancy around 2017, but was more in the wider blockchain space, blockchain and crypto space. And then coming around to like 2021 or around 2020, sorry, like during the pandemic, I kind of decided to go kind of Bitcoin ecosystem only. So that means Bitcoin and Bitcoin L2s. Just based on what was going on in Ethereum, and the way that I saw things going, I kind of said to myself, okay, like everyone's getting a little carried away here, and all of this innovation that seems to be happening could be happening with Bitcoin, and I couldn't really get my head around why so many different tokens and everything was coming around. So it just was just like, yeah, you know what? Let's focus in the Bitcoin ecosystem. So worked a bit with the Stacks Foundation, and built up the Stacks London, the presence in the UK for Stacks, built a community there, and then also joined on to CoinScrum and began to run CoinScrum with my partner Nick Duddy, as the founder of CoinScrum, Paul Gordon, who many people in the UK will know. He decided to step away from CoinScrum. So yeah, but CoinScrum definitely was really, really, really big time, because it is, one of the world's oldest kind of crypto communities or Bitcoin communities. And definitely, the UK's first one. So taking charge of that, has been a bit of a fun ride. But yeah, it's just taking things from a Bitcoin first perspective, right? So that's always been my position as an educator in the industry.
Yeah, nice. You were in early 10 years ago. That's a long
Yeah,
time.
it's
10 years is crazy.
not. I wouldn't say in early because it takes a while to obviously for people to get their head around stuff. But
100%, yeah.
I would have said around 2014 is when I started to actually start, stacking sats, right? Like
Damn.
2013, probably a little bit, but 2014, I
Yeah.
started stacking sats, and I didn't take it seriously until probably around 2016.
Yeah,
That's
it
when
takes a while.
I took it like seriously. So yeah, I mean, takes a while, isn't
It
it?
does, honestly. I think it's
But we're
probably like,
still all early, and if you're watching
I
this
know.
and you're not in at all, then you're still very early. Like,
as long as
so
your fiat is worth any Bitcoin at all, you're early.
yeah, exactly. That's it. That's
Yeah.
exactly it.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the new music economy a little bit? Because I hear you talk about that a little bit, and I have no idea what that is, and I want to know.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a lot more recent effort. That is tied to my past in music. And when I first kind of came into the space or first discovered the space, music royalties was like a big thing that I kind of at the time was like, hey, this would be something that we could work towards. And I think at the time, because we were just learning, we focused more on education because we wanted to teach other people. So I think that like with 2140 music and with the new music economy stuff, what I'm doing is I'm kind of reconnecting with a lot of my past and my personal, life in terms of earning Bitcoin, right? So tying the two things together, like it kind of brought me around to this idea of creating a channel for musicians and to onboard musicians because so much stuff has advanced since obviously I first came into the space. I think music and a lot of other media things, or I want to say non-important, but things outside of the remit of Bitcoin as a store of value, Bitcoin as a monetary network, obviously took a back seat for a long time whilst Bitcoin developers worked on it, whilst Lightning came about, like why all this innovation has gone on around the general space. So I think being in the being like kind of like Bitcoin ecosystem only for the last cycle and a bit, right, has kind of said to me, well, you know what, I think that this is the thing that could connect the two together, basically, my past, like I said, and my hobby, my passion, right, with what I'm doing. So the whole thing was really, it started from an online magazine that I created, right, called 2140 Art. And 2140 Art is, I keep it up with the writing, it's crazy, right? So there's like hardly any articles on there, right? Like, but I need to get that
That
stepped
writing's
up and
hard.
get
That
more
takes so
writers.
much longer than you think.
Yeah, so I need to get some more writers. So where that came from, because it's just me that's been building all this. It's not really, like loads of other people. I haven't got a team or anything like that, right? So, well, now with 2140 Music, there's a team, but prior to this, there wasn't. So basically, I was building 2140 Art as kind of something that is can relate to people culturally, rather than just saying to people, "Hey, this is Bitcoin stuff," right? But have a way that to be able to connect with people that are doing art, and are maybe somewhat freedom fighter activist, people that are making music, people that believe in free, open, fairness, and then culture, just as general, like it's kind of like cypherpunk culture, and also connecting that with kind of like grassroots, again, as I said, kind of activist culture, and then also like the money side of things, right? So like, what's going on with money? What's going on with the economy? Because that also affects society and affects culture, right? So that's where I started 2140 Art. The original idea was to be like a record label, but I just don't think the ethos of record labels and Bitcoin goes together, right? It just doesn't work, right? So that was the original idea. Then it became the magazine, and then from the magazine, I started to knuckle down on the music area because, again, that is a lot where a lot of my professionalism lies, right, in the music area. So then I started to explore, like, what is going on for artists currently? How are artists currently being able? Because yeah, okay, cool, you can do NFTs or whatever, right? But how are artists currently being able to take more control using this technology today? How is that done without leaving Bitcoin's ecosystem? And is there tooling available? Is there things going on for artists basically within in the Bitcoin space? And over the last year, there's been significant leaps and bounds in terms of artists and music and Bitcoin, right? I'd say last 2 years or so. So with that being said, it's like, okay, now we have a shift, like, of music, not only as and we're only at the start of it, but of music not only as an ecosystem but as an economy, right? So we normally say, the music industry, right? But when you attach Bitcoin to it, I felt that it becomes more like an economy, right? So I recently I did some research. This is after starting this whole thing. So we're like, okay, let's do a series of events. Let's have entertainment going on with also learning, education workshops, stuff like that, and then two separate rooms. So like people don't have to be like bored, in between acts. And people that are like waiting to go on stage, they don't have to wait for the next presentation or whatever, right? So we managed to find a very friendly venue in Brixton, again, one of the hearts of music in the UK. And then we split up into two areas. So we have workshops going on, introducing people to Bitcoin, what Bitcoin is, and also, how to use it. To advance or to leverage the tools that are available, or even build their own tools, because we can all do that in Bitcoin, right? To kind of propel or enhance their career in music. and how that's going to translate for the future as well, because I think that that's important, right? So with the next session we've got coming up on the 17th of December, that session is actually more focusing on the people that are already in the space, right? So we're going to be introducing these artists to people, and this is regular people. So we've had like people from the music industry show up as well, like, you know, just to see what's going on, right? So the whole premise of this is really to bring culture and the education together in a way that is not boring, right? In a way that is not, it's not off-putting, right? And that people can actually understand. We're not just in here like, hey, we're orange pilling you, right? Like, you know what I'm trying to say, right? It's like, come down, perform, do some open mic stuff if you want. You know, we can put you on the flyer. You know, if you want to do like a proper performance, you've got a release going on, whatever, come down, you know, just hook up with us, right? And we'll set it up. So that led me, as I said, doing that, right, over the past, what is it now? Going on to 8 weeks, right? So it's every 2 weeks. So we started on the 5th of November. So doing that had led me to now knuckle down more on this term, right? The new music economy. And then I started to notice that there were a few people that we were following, like music industry people, that had begun to use this term now, right? Because everything in the music industry is shifting. Things are going to direct to consumer. Artists are not liking the deals that they're getting from Spotify. Spotify's changing. Spotify's in bed with record labels, so on and so forth. So much politics going on. So I started to look now for other instances where people were using this phrase, new music economy. And then I found out that there was some literature, research, and events that go back to, I think, 1997 or something like that, on people using this term. But it's always been used to describe a technological shift in the music industry, right? In a way that enables artists to do more. However, I challenge the fact that it's not truly an economy then, right? Because there's nothing about the underlying base, there's nothing about payments that changes, right? So nobody can be their own bank, right? In the current music, let's say Web 2 music industry, right? No one could be their own bank. And they're still using fiat currencies, right? Predominantly, right? So is it really a new music economy?
If it's
Or is
not.
it a new music ecosystem? Do you understand, right? So my current like mindset and research that I'm doing is really to highlight that Bitcoin is actually makes it a new economy. Yeah. Okay, cool. We could have some token or whatever, right? Like on another chain, right? But Bitcoin is the money of the chains, right? It is the store of value or the monetary asset of all chains, regardless of it being its own thing, right? And separate from the rest of crypto. So in the end of the day, you know, when you've changed the money, you've changed it from an ecosystem now into, you know, a proper economy. Because now the musician becomes a real economic participant, right? Do you understand, right? At all levels, right? So us sticking with that name and that saying, new music economy, I think that, you know, I think that it's very, very fitting, right? And I happened to meet it when I went to Bitcoin Amsterdam this year. I happened to bump into another guy. So shout out to Philanese, right? He is in Amsterdam, and he's got a music thing that's going on as well, teaching people about Bitcoin. And again, he on his website calls it a new music economy, right? Yeah. So this is the thing, right? I think that there is a room here to be able to create a lane to be able to bring artists over and help them, right? And it's not just me doing this, obviously. There are other people again, right, around the world doing different things to be able to onboard people onto Bitcoin through music. But I think music is a very powerful medium to onboard even more people because everybody likes music, right? Yeah, so,
Course.
you know, yeah.
Yeah. So your approach is to go to artists, and is it to make them more independent, essentially?
Yeah, Yeah, basically that's what my thing is, right? My thing is that like each artist doesn't have to, I mean, you don't have to, what we've been saying to artists is you don't have to, we're not telling you put down Spotify, put down Apple Music or whatever. But what we're saying to you is that there is another lane that you can also carve here, right, for yourself. And it might be a niche fan set, so to speak, because you know of the amount of Bitcoiners that there are going to either purchase or Zap stream you or whatever, right, for your music. But that crowd base, I think, understands the value of your proof of work, which is your music, right, a lot more than the average listener, right? And building, I think, a fan base, you know, on top of Bitcoin, you know, it's like building your house upon the rock, right, so to speak, right. So I think it puts you in a good position for the future as well. You know, if you do blow up on Spotify, then look, you know, you've got all this great Bitcoin music that is a lot rarer to be holden to, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Do you see anything? You know how this has just come to my mind now, but how you've got Fountain now almost as like for podcasts, as that podcasting 2.0 to incorporate the Bitcoin wallet. Do you see something like that happening with music? Maybe like a new app similar to Fountain where you could have an incorporated Bitcoin wallet and you can, was it Boost on Fountain?
I think that's already here with like platforms like Wavelake.
Okay.
You've got like LN Beats and other smaller developer open source, you know, made platforms. You know, obviously on Nostr as well, you have quite a lot of applications on Nostr as well that are helping for streaming and multimedia and that music stuff. So I think that it is. I don't think it's just the future. I think it's here, right? And this is what we've been explaining to a lot of the artists that come to our sessions, is that, you know, this technology, like podcasting 2.0, has been around for like 8 years, right? Like it's been around for a
Well,
while. It's not
yeah.
new, right? Yeah. So it's like, I think what it is that people don't realize that this technology already exists, you know? And that it's very simple to connect with it. As we say a lot of the time, you know, it takes longer for you to set up a banking app or to even get a bank account than it does for you to be able to set up a Bitcoin wallet, right? Yeah. So, you know, you can set up a Bitcoin wallet in like 30 seconds, right? So I think because it's already here and the infrastructure has already been here for some time, I think what it is only right that artists should be doing is, again, exploring it very early, like they were exploring Bandcamp or SoundCloud or MySpace, right? You know, like very early. And I still say that MySpace is still, up to now, like the most innovative fan-based platform for musicians that has ever come out of this whole thing, right? Yeah, like so far. And that's because MySpace, almost in a Bitcoin-like open source fashion, allowed you to go create your own website, literally your own website, right? And then also embed your own music players, and also allow for you to embed your own payments or anything else, right? So we've not seen MySpace since MySpace, although we have the Bandcamps, we have the SoundClouds or whatever else. Like, they don't have the same level, I would say, of fan slash musician interaction, and buildability, right? That MySpace had, right? Unless you're using all like open source, you understand web development, you know, so on and so forth. But there's no, let's say, drag and drop experience right now for musicians, right? Like, that can help themselves to self-fund, right? So I think with what we've got now, what we're going to see, as obviously the computer development is coming much more easy, but we've seen a lot more easier ways for people to just set up, again, payments, right, using Bitcoin. So I think that there may be one framework that comes out of the blue, right, that allows people to just drag and drop together their stuff, right, and
Yeah.
they can use Bitcoin, right? And they can use Bitcoin on Lightning. They can use it on chain. They
Yeah.
can use L2s. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, right? Like, I think that's the point in which now you have an app that is totally seamless, because the person that joins onto it, all right, let's say they're using USD on there, and artists are choosing to accept Bitcoin, then you have some conversion mechanism for that to happen, right? Like then you're gonna have like loads of artists using it because it's just a new platform. It's a new way of being able to serve their music. But then it's having that social element. And I think, as I said, that's what we haven't seen since MySpace. MySpace was regular users building their own websites, interacting with musicians and companies that were building their own websites, right?
Yeah, like more
So,
personal.
yeah, so it's a lot more personal, right? So yeah, like I said, I think there's enough out there now. Again, because I'm an anti-ordinals guy, right? Like, I love ordinals. I think ordinals is a great thing. It's done a lot for the Bitcoin space and for innovation on Bitcoin in terms of changing the attitude towards innovation on Bitcoin, right? And obviously, we have people like doing innovative things. We have people like Jim from Audionauts, like creating on-chain music players, right? Yeah, like in very small amounts of data, right? Which nobody can say, hey, this is spam on chain, right? Yeah. We have people like Violetta. She sold her masters for her, well, she sold not the masters, but she sold her song, for one Bitcoin, right? 0.99 BTC in an auction, right? Do you understand, right? So, and this is happening directly on Bitcoin. This is not happening on where you've got to put it into, again, no shade to Emblem Vault, but you don't have to put it into some vault and do something on another chain, right? Like this is happening on Bitcoin. So, and I think that Ordinals again gets underappreciated by some of the people that don't like it, right? Because what I'd say is that Ordinals created this full circle, a real full circle loop for Bitcoin, where you do not have to leave Bitcoin L1 at all to do anything. You can actually now have a marketplace, spend, receive, send, split transactions, have arbitrary data, put multimedia. Right? All of that happening on Bitcoin is not a small feature. That's not something to be overlooked and say, hey, well, it was meant for payments and stuff, right? You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, yeah, cool. It was meant for payments and stuff, but it's still fucking great that you could do all of this stuff
So much, yeah.
in one ecosystem, right? Like without having to go anywhere else. So that's what really excites me, and that's what fascinates me about the breadth that Bitcoin has, both as an asset and then as a network, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around that because obviously I'm not in that music space, but hearing you talk that, yeah, like that's, I never really thought about ordinals at all, but I guess now you've said that a lot more for me to research
Yeah.
and to get to
I
know.
think a lot of the hate for ordinals came from, again, the kind of spam on chain idea, right? Large files, stupid block times, block sizes, and transaction fees. Yeah, okay, cool. But now what do you say when like the there's a Jim inscribed mastered audio file, basically, right? Full quality. Yeah, you can basically not tell it apart from a wave quality audio file. It was like 500 and it was 580 something bytes, right? Like what are we talking about spam on chain, right? Like guys inscribing music at that small. Why are you worried, bro? Like, why are you worried, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's not gonna, it hasn't opened the floodgates of people to do loads of stupid shit, right, on Bitcoin, like just inscribe all of these, like, re-inscribe stuff from ETH, steal people's collections and pretend, and it's brought the casino, as we say, to Bitcoin, right? Yeah, but the casino brings in a hell of a lot of capital, right? And Bitcoin is the house, and the house always wins, doesn't it, right?
And
So
it is freedom. If someone wants to gamble, it is their right to
exactly.
gamble. I mean,
But my point further
it's
to
the
it,
old, yeah,
my further
that
to
is Bitcoin.
my point further to it is that the house always wins, right? In the casino, yeah, right? In the casino, the house always wins. So if everyone's coming along to the casino, and that is bringing in all of this fiat capital that Bitcoin is going to swallow anyway, but it's accelerating that happening, then let it happen because, as you said, people are going to gamble anyway, right? If people want to buy this, if people want to buy it, like as we say, sending rocks and right, people want to buy rock, right? They're gonna buy a rock in it, right? Like, a lot of people, you know, Jamie Dimon, whoever, thought Bitcoin was a fucking rock, and people were buying this still, right? So that's what I'm saying, right? People are gonna buy what they're gonna buy. They're gonna get involved in what they're gonna get involved in. But I think our effort, our overall effort as Bitcoiners, is to make sure that, like, that economic activity is happening with Bitcoin, and that people do have that freedom to be able to do what they want. And that's the whole point of it, right? So I'm not against anything that does that doesn't break Bitcoin. If it's not gonna, and if Bitcoin's gonna break, like I said, then we're all in trouble, isn't it? Like, we've all been following the wrong train for like 16 years or whatever, right? 17 years. So I think that's my thing. I think if it brings more innovation to Bitcoin, which it has, if it brings more capital to Bitcoin, it has. If it brings more debate around Bitcoin development, it has. If it brings more methods and means of payment on Bitcoin, it has. It closes the circular economy loop, because now you've got digital artifacts that people are buying on Bitcoin, using Bitcoin, you know, and creating other currencies on Bitcoin using Bitcoin, right? So people, again, might hate BRC20 or whatever else it is, you know, runes. Like,
you don't have to get
however many fiat currencies already, in it, right? And they're all running on dollar right about now, right? So it's better that they'll be running on Bitcoin, isn't it, right?
So do you see it as, you don't, I mean, I don't know the technicalities of it too well, but those runes and those other currencies, as you say, them running on Bitcoin, do they essentially have minimal effect on the protocol itself? They kind of are negligible to Bitcoin, the current system.
Yeah,
really effective.
Yeah, I'd say in the sense of again, like I said, like, if we think about it now, like, all right, cool, runes and ordinals has brought loads of capital to Bitcoin, but where is most of the capital? Most of the capital is locked in non-custodial wallets, right? Yeah. So therefore, not the most of the capital was still not even involved. Yeah, right, in runes or anything else, right? Most of the total capital I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So when you actually think about it, yeah, like, it's a small, like, maybe 20% of people that's partaking, right? Like, why is the town worried about 20% of people going off for a drink or whatever to the casino, right? Like,
yeah,
that's not worrying, is it? Like, you don't want to go to the party, don't go to the party, in it, right? Simple, yeah, right?
Yeah, So for that, like, those transactions that you say that have happened, like the 0.99 Bitcoin, which is crazy, that's a lot of money. How do they work? Like, what's she selling? The copyright laws, essentially?
She had inscribed a music, she described an art piece with her music and a video, right?
Okay.
All in one inscription. Basically she auctioned it off, right? So she Villetta does quite a lot, right? So she was traveling around doing a lot of shows. She's putting tons of work, right? Going to all of the different, like, Bitcoin conferences, trying to go to as many events as possible. You know, she started, I think, in 2021, and she did an NFT collection, an Ethereum NFT collection at first, before she fell down, you know, the rabbit hole with the orange pill, right? So after doing all of that, she put this thing up for auction. This is free and fair open market, right? She didn't put this up like an Ordinals collection and say, hey, this costs however much, right? She put it out as an auction, and it got bidded all the way up to 0.99 BTC, and that's it, isn't it? The rest is history, right?
So
the most expensive single song probably in the world at the moment, right? Yeah, to ever be, you know, like, let's say, sold at auction. Right? Again, it doesn't have any, it's not like this song was like a chart topping Madonna hit, right? Yeah, like, or something like that. And they're selling the masters, right? So this changes the dynamics, because now how much is a song worth, right? How much is a song worth? You know, 10 million thousand streams or whatever, right? You know, for 1 cent, or is it worth 1 BTC, right?
Yeah. So it's changing that way. It's like more, it's direct. She's selling it directly to someone else instead of publishing it somewhere and letting that centralized server determine how much they think it's worth for the amount of attention that it's bringing.
Because music, as you just said, attention is pretty much where the music economy's gone, right? Or the music ecosystem.
Almost like everything.
It's just attention. people pay Spotify, right? And then Spotify pays the artists what they choose, right? Or whatever. So yeah, as I said, that just changes the dynamics of how somebody could possibly. So it's the medium. A person could now sell viably sell music on Bitcoin. Not that it hasn't been done before via Letter, because obviously loads of people have done music ordinals, right? But what I'm saying is that she has now raised the bar, right, in terms of, again, how much can music be valued at, right? In the world of Bitcoin, that is a new economy. Bitcoin, I mean, music is valued really at whatever people spend in Bitcoin on somebody's website to buy an album, or whatever amount of tips that somebody's received over Lightning, right? This changes the dynamic, because now it's like, okay, well, actually, one song could be worth one BTC if somebody really wants to collect that song, if somebody wants to become a collector of that song, or maybe an owner of rights. But I know with that particular deal, I think Violetta still owns her rights and everything else. So this person has bought this as an art piece to actually collect, right?
Okay, so is that what they're really selling? Is it like the Ark, or do they? Can you only can that? Is he the only person that could technically stream it because he owns it?
Well, again, if I go, I'm not, I can't dive too much, because I'm not Violetta, right? So I can't dive too much into exactly what the right situation is. But I know that she, the way that she put it out, she still has full ownership rights, right? Yeah. Whether or not that other person is allowed to then stream it or whatever, I'm not sure if there was a direct like legal license put in there or anything like that, right? Because this can be done, right? We know that this can be done, like with ordinals and with NFTs. You could make a legal contract so that the person who owns this owns the right to these things, right? But you know, again, like if that guy girl is out there sitting there saying to herself, "Hey, I want to be a collector of this block number, even, right? This arbitrary data on this particular block. That's why I'm going to spend one BTC for this particular," you know, it's still again free and open for anybody to say whatever. You know, it's the same thing with rare sats, right? This rare sats debate. Like people say, "No, there's nothing special about rare sats." Bro, you spend dollars or pounds every single day that other people will go, "Oh my God, that is a King Charles with you know, it's got one
Also
stud
tempting.
less on it." Yeah. Like, "Oh my God, do you know how much that's worth?" Who are you to tell people like what
What
things are
something's
worth,
worth,
my guy, right? Yeah, it's
So,
yeah, I think that's just it's just totally against Bitcoin ethos to be like, "Hey, you know, we don't we, what you cannot like it, right? It's up to you to not like, but it's totally against Bitcoin ethos to be like, hey, we should not allow people to do this, right? Because that is the censorship at the bottom line, right?" So yeah, but go on, yeah.
Do you see that? I'm still trying to get my head around it, so I'm going to be asking stupid questions, but just tell me
No, it's
to
all good.
that
It's
has
all
been
good.
stupid. So do you see the economy being able to operate sort of without the need for a legal oversight, or do you think there's always going to be that need for like the copyright, that copyright kind of
Okay,
enforcement?
so this is a very hard area to tackle, but what I would
Obviously,
say
yeah.
is that there needs to be a mix of the two, right?
Okay.
Because, all right, so let's say you have everything on chain, right? Let's say musical instruments, everything is on chain, attributions all on chain. Then you have a system that works automatically, it's automated, right? And it's basically first come, first serve, isn't it, at that point? So if you're going to steal something from somebody, you would have to basically steal it from them at the studio and inscribe it before they did, right? But then if you look at it from, let's say, a legal standpoint of view, right? If that person, let's say, has stolen this from you, inscribed it, and then you take this case to court, and even if the judge says, okay, this person has to sign over that property to you, does the person have to sign over property to you? No, because they can't be forced to sign it over to you.
Without
Yeah,
one.
right. So I think there has to be some kind of medium here in which, you know, we look at how law itself, maybe is governed using blockchains, as a mechanism. Because I'm not totally anti other blockchains, right? Like, like Satoshi did wasn't anti-blockchain, right? So I don't see any reason for me to be anti-blockchain. I think that what it is that there has to be there's certain things that can apply to using a blockchain, right? And I think that the legal process could be one of them, a very large one, that allows for, some kind of voting governance in a decentralized manner, for people to be able to do governance of the legal system. Because the problem that we have with the legal system now is it changes like every hundreds
Willy-nilly, yeah.
of years, right? Or whatever.
As it
So
pleases.
it needs to change to reflect society. So I think that blockchain as a way of managing data is going to be useful for that. How it relates to how we do things all the way back to monetary policy with Bitcoin and how we deal with actually having some kind of maybe quorum or forum for having these discussions around legality, around contracts. Because yeah, we say smart contracts, yeah, because they work automated in an automated way, but it still needs to be something that you have to input in there to maybe make it legally binding or whatever. Yeah, so I think like I say to people a lot of the time, there has to always be a balance, right? So we can scream decentralization from the top of the hills all day long, but there's going to be centralized points to things because, sometimes you're going to need to have to have a group, a federation, like as some of the L2s have got, like Liquid, Fedi. You need to have, so federated model works sometimes, but then other times you need to be, just like fully open and people can do what they want. So I think for the transactions part, and just being able to transact, right? Yeah, that should definitely be fully open, but I think there is some kind of federated idea when it comes to how things can be maybe moderated is a better term,
Yeah.
by the people that are using the network as things go through. So yeah,
There's just a
it's
lot to be done,
complicated. It's
a lot to be
complicated.
discussed.
I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, it's complicated, I think,
We're
in
early,
the long run.
basically.
But I think until we have a Bitcoin standard anyway, you're not going to see the need for the direct need for these things, right? I think that right now where blockchain is going to be just very useful is like, keeping records of what's actually happening in courts, like in terms of
Yeah.
decisions, right? Decision making, right? Or orders, right? Like keeping orders in order, so to speak, right? So I think that's where it sits now. But I think when you have Bitcoin as a legal tender, like a situation like El Salvador, then you have to really knuckle down on, how do we govern this stuff? Because it's like, you can't just have, oh yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, like, bro, like you didn't write down your seed phrase and, you didn't. Yeah, I think there's a mix, right? As I said, there has to be a balance at some point in which, yeah, decentralization has a centralized point, right? And that's it, right? It's always going to seesaw between the two.
Yeah, and just with online stuff in general, it's hard to keep stuff to own something when it starts spreading online. That's
Exactly.
just that's been a problem for forever. That's why copyright laws are here, to be honest. But yeah, but we're early basically, and there's so much more to figure out.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
there's also one like angle of having Bitcoin in the music industry that I'm coming from, which is kind of general to every industry, but obviously, if you have some kind of music that's not popular with government, maybe anti-government music, that's far more empowered on a Bitcoin standard. You
Yeah.
can't, when as opposed to being on a fiat standard where you can just shut them down because you don't like their music, so no banks for you, or no centralized platform like banned from Spotify, which would also shut off their income or something. And like, have you seen any examples of that in the past, because I'm not in music
I was
history.
just about to say, right, probably the biggest example, and in recent times, and from a UK rapper, Lowkey, right? Lowkey's very outspoken, always been, very conscious to what's going on, right? Like in the world, and very always speaking about current affairs and issues. And he was deplatformed from Spotify, for
Really?
this whole speaking about Israel and Palestine. And he just dropped an album the other day. I did it all, independently. It went well, so on and so forth. But the next level to that is, again, just accepting Bitcoin payments, right? Like, because then it's like, hey, Stripe or PayPal or whichever payment processor that you're using can't do that same thing. Can't, you don't have to use obviously a lot of companies will use some kind of offshore banking, but I mean, that comes with its own setup costs and fees as well, right? To run. So it's like, again, like and that's the best ex recent example that I've seen of it, because Lowkey does a hell of a lot of work outside, just in activism, outside of him making music, right? That is an example, as I said, that's recent, that they took down his Spotify, and he's gone kind of like this route of new music ecosystem, which is artist takes all into their own hands, right? So I think for him that would have been like a perfect thing, right? I know quite a lot of guys that are in it, are use their music also as an activist platform, and and that's probably that the people that I'm trying to reach to most with what I'm doing, because these are musicians that already understand partly, or in some breadth, what is kind of going on in the world. But I think that when it comes to Bitcoin, it's a special case, because people still need to get their head around economics, right? And we're not taught how money works in schools, right?
That's awful.
So to get people's head over even what Bitcoin is and why it should be important to them, I've bumped into a lot of activist guys who are like, there is you heard it was started by the CIA and they're all going cashless, and this is what they all want us on. They all want us on this Bitcoin thing, bruv. I'm not sorry, I'm not gonna, I can't do it, bruv, because that's against what I believe in. And I'm like, all right, bro, so how do you propose then? And a lot of them, because there's this group that's going around called No to CBDCs or whatever, and they've got it right in one aspect, No to CBDCs, but they've got it wrong in the other aspect. Is, hey, keep your cash. Okay, cool, bro. Like, we'll see how long that lasts when CBDCs come in. Yeah, right. Like, and I think people also are against the idea of cashless because they don't realize that cashless has already been here for a very long time. You know what I'm trying to say to you? They don't understand that where if you have a debit or a credit card, right, and you've ever used one throughout your life, if you have a bank account, then in essence, that is exactly the same thing. You understand? It's just cashless, right? Like the fact that you can go and withdraw some paper that is a debt from a wall, a hole in the wall, what does that really mean when you understand how the economics of it works, right? Because all you're doing is you're withdrawing a debt from the wall, right? Like off of numbers on a screen that you purport to own, right? But it is really
Supposedly,
a debt that you owe.
you own.
It's like, do you understand that? So it's like, so it's like, yeah. So when I bump into those people, like, I just ask them, like I tend to, as I've been saying recently, I tend to not tell people about stuff anymore. I just tend to just ask them questions that makes them question themselves and their actual knowledge of what they're talking about, like when it comes to this. So again, people will say to me, oh, no, I don't trust the Bitcoin thing. I stay with cash. And I'll say, okay, so who prints the cash?
Yeah, it's like you got the good privacy aspect of cash, but you don't have the inflation, the protection from the basement, and it's like you get half of it, but
That's it.
Yeah. Do
Cash,
you have
you have the privacy aspect, and you also, I would say, you have the so-called tangibility aspect, right? So
Yes.
people can hold it, right?
You
Some
actually
people
have that,
like
yeah.
to see things in front of them, right? Like to hold it, right? So you have it as in you are in possession of it, because again, a lot of people don't really understand that on the Bitcoin network, you're not really in possession of your possession of keys, right? You're not in possession of Bitcoin, right? You're in possession of admin rights, basically, to move Bitcoin, right? Or to move ad or to put to part to send admin rights to somebody else over a certain amount of Bitcoin, right? So in the end of the day, right, the reason why the two things that make cash very, very good is A, the privacy aspect, and B, someone can actually hold it, right? But that holding it becomes a problem if you've got nowhere to store it. And that's when you then start having to rely on a bank again, right? So hence why, even in that aspect, Bitcoin becomes a better thing to hold on to, because you don't have to physically hold it. You don't have to find anywhere to store it. You don't have to deal with anybody else to keep it safe, right?
It's
Yeah. And no
personal
one's using
responsibility.
your money to no one's using their money to pay Peter and Paul or whoever, right? Yeah, like and flip your money in whatever failing stock, while you've left it there. So I think, like, overall, like, that's what the key thing is that people need to get their heads around. And whenever as I said, I encounter these people that are like, hey, Bitcoin is CIA, Bitcoin is anti whatever, Bitcoin's gonna, drink all the world's swimming pools or whatever. When I come across all of these people, I'm just like, all right, cool. So I'll ask them a question, and once you ask them a question, because they're expecting you to go, oh, here you come with all that Bitcoin stuff, right? They're expecting that, right? Yeah. But when you ask them a question now, they go, oh, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, I haven't really done my research that much.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. And then now you start giving them an answer or two, but then asking them again questions along the way, right? So as you start to ask the question, then they start to actually look this stuff up. Some people will like get out their phone and actually Google it, right? And then they Google it and they go, oh, right. So one example, like earlier on this year, like I went to the doctor, and this wasn't like my regular doctor or anything, but I went to the doctor, and this doctor I was talking to, old guy, right? Like could tell he was like, maybe in his 80s, maybe, right? Very old doctor. So I'm speaking to him, and he asked me what I do for a living. So I'm like, yeah, consultant. And he's like, oh, okay, but what industry? And I'm like, oh, like tech stuff. And he's like, yeah, but what kind of tech?
Really interesting story.
I'm like, bro, I tried to avoid having this conversation with you, right? Like, so I'm like Bitcoin, right? So he's like, Bitcoin. Oh, okay, right. So then he's typing away, and he's like, oh, so is that like it's this cryptocurrency stuff? Like, I've heard about it, but like I don't get it. Can you like explain to me like what Bitcoin is? Like, so like I give him about like 2 minutes of explanation. Well, not even 2 minutes of explanation. Yeah, 2 minutes of explanation maybe, right? And then I ask him, I say, so do you know what money is currently backed by? And he's gone, I don't know. Gold. And I've gone, no.
Go,
Right. So then I proceed to like obviously talk about the Federal Reserve Act and the gold standard. And he goes, okay. He goes, do you know what? I remember this stuff. I remember this stuff happening. Yeah. Like, with the gold standard being removed. And he's like, I've never really thought about it since then. I've never like I he's like, I was so young, living life, whatever, never really thought about it. And then he ends up now asking me questions for like the next 20 minutes, right? To the point that he's written me this prescription already, and he's still asking me questions, right? So he's like, yeah, he takes my number, gives me his number, and he's like, hey, can you send me, some of your guides to look at and stuff like that, right? So that was like again another moment where in which, as I said, I could have just said, hey, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin does that, you should get Bitcoin, blah, 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 blah. But it was like, okay, look, I'll give you the simple premise and I'll ask you a question. And that led into him now wanting to have such a deep conversation around like, actually having a full-on interest in Bitcoin, right? So he's like, yeah, I think I'll buy some by the time I've walked out, right? Like, so and he understood pretty easily what how a private and public key worked as well. Like
Really?
he understood that really, really quickly, right? Like, so for me, as I said, right, I think what's happened over time is that yes, the tooling has become easier, but I think that also my style of educating people has become much more simplified, right? So yeah, I think that, in the near future, or in this bull run, because Bitcoin's causing to kick out such a storm in this bull run in terms of price action, right? And most normies are looking at price action, right? So because of that, I think what will happen is a lot of people will come in on this cycle, but they will be all asking questions, right? Because it's not like the last bull run, which was just pure hype, right? Yeah. Pure hype, right? The last bull run, and scared because people are coming out of the recession, the pandemic, right? Yeah. So people are looking at here, there, and everywhere, and whatever's going up, number go up, right? Is where they're looking. People are trying to invest into stuff, start their own businesses because they've been laid off because of the pandemic and all of this stuff. So we've had this influx of people that I think have now become a lot more open-minded to stuff. And then I think now we've had this break period for those people anyway, where they've not paid attention to what's going on in this space. They haven't seen it, nothing. To now we're going to have it at the forefront of everything. We've got, like, obviously America with Trump going on. We've got Putin the other day talking about Bitcoin. We've
Which
got
crazy.
like China basically returning to using Bitcoin. Obviously Africa is like a, most of African countries, big proponents
Yeah.
of
Do you see
Bitcoin.
the IMF as well offering El Salvador a loan
Yeah,
to
to
remove
stop using
Bitcoin as
Bitcoin. Yeah. Yeah,
legal tender? Yeah.
that's what I'm saying. So,
Crazy.
I think on a world stage now, Bitcoin has now made it to that world stage where it's now being talked about in the actual mainstream news consistently. And we haven't seen that happen with just Bitcoin. Yeah, right. We've seen that happen with the crypto space, but we haven't seen it happen where this is happening with Bitcoin on its own, and you don't have to, like I said at the beginning, leave the Bitcoin ecosystem at this moment in time, right? So if people get onboarded in this bull run and they want to do NFTs, they're not going to jump ship and go to Ethereum, like, necessarily. I'm not saying that it
They
might
might,
not
but yeah,
happen. Yeah,
that's
right? People might go back to Ethereum or wherever else, right? Influx could go to some random chain that we've never even heard of that just comes out, right? But what I'm saying is that for the majority of people that will be learning about Bitcoin firsthand, yeah, in this cycle, they are going to come in, and there is a whole entire entertainment, culture, art, technology, entrepreneurship paradigm now that exists in Bitcoin that is easy to join. Not that it wasn't there, right? Because it's been there since the beginning, right? Because that's the whole point of Bitcoin, right? It's been there since the beginning. But now it's easy for those people to join, right? Hey, my president is support of Bitcoin. I'm coming here to buy some Bitcoin. I buy Bitcoin. What can I do with it? Types into Google. What can I do with Bitcoin? Goes to ChatGPT. What can I do with Bitcoin? And now all of these lists of possibilities
Yeah.
come out, right? So
It's good. It's so good. But yeah, for people coming in, obviously, because there's going to be a lot of new people coming in, six figures in dollars, a lot of people are going to be coming in. Do you want to just explain why it's so important that people aren't going to Ethereum and how much safer it really is that they can stay on Bitcoin now?
Well, I think my top two things is this, right? It's first of all, and this is the analogy I gave to somebody over the last couple of days. I've said it in like three interviews over the last couple of days, right? But literally, think about it like this. All right, we have money, right? Let's say fiat money, right? In England, we have pounds, right? So let's say pounds, right? We have pounds. And in every shop that you go into, in every ecosystem, in every club, they have a membership scheme. They have their own points. They have their own tokens, right? Yeah, so to speak. But when you want to go from one to any one of those shops, guess what you need? Money, right? Yeah, right. Bitcoin is the money, right? So you can go to the Ethereum shop twice a week if you want, You can go to the Tezos shop or the BNB shop or wherever you want to go, right? You could subscribe over there to Optimism or whatever, right? The
Yeah.
gym, yeah, right? Yeah, you could. But why would you keep Tesco club card points and Morrison club card points and all of these different points in your wallet, in your bank?
Yeah.
No, you keep money in there, right? Do you understand, right? So
Yeah.
that's it. Like that's the thing, right? Like that is the first kind of like analogy and part of it, right? Bitcoin is the money, right? So if you wanna change the monetary system that you're currently under, yeah, the current centralized fiat monetary system, then what you need to do is hold Bitcoin, firstly. Second thing that you need to do is use Bitcoin, right? Which is a lot of hodlers might disagree with me and say, no, I'm hodling till infinity, right? Great, bro. Yeah.
Gotta
But
eat.
guess what? Bitcoin's mechanisms are built in a way in which if someone was decided to hodl all the Bitcoin, that's why I don't like all this BlackRock talk of, oh, BlackRock might buy out like so much more Bitcoin. Yes, BlackRock are trying to buy more than you, the average guy, right? But yeah, right. That's because they understand what's going on, right? And if BlackRock, someone without nefarious purposes, right? Not BlackRock, because BlackRock, I think, are a bit too linked to the fiat system. But I think anybody else, any other players that are not so linked to the fiat system that are buying lots of Bitcoin. Let's say BlackRock, or just BlackRock, for instance, owns all of the Bitcoin. Yeah, right. They managed to buy so much Bitcoin off of everybody on the planet that they own like 90% of the Bitcoin on the planet, right? Yeah. Still not going to be able to change shit. Yeah. Right. First of all, yeah.
You still need
And
consensus.
they're going to have to either print, yeah, or get printed money to put into making the economy stay stable, or they're going to have to sell their Bitcoin, right? Or they're going to have to, if we want to say for better terms of sell, use their Bitcoin, right? Keep
That's
your
why I think
money
it's really
going.
important.
Yeah.
Spending and selling are not the same at
Right,
all.
exactly. And
There's
that's the
selling
thing,
for
right?
fiat, and then there's spending, which you're essentially spent, you're selling for a good or a service, but you're not
Exactly.
selling for fiat.
Exactly.
It's
But the thing
different,
is,
so
even
different.
if you're selling for fiat, all you're doing is giving an opportunity to another market participant to acquire that Bitcoin from you for fiat, right? But the overall point is the way how Bitcoin's built is built kind of like on two principles almost, right? Almost, right? Again, I'm not saying that it's only two principles. I don't want anyone to kill me, right? But yeah, it's like eat fiat, yeah, right? Like eat fiat, and if they try to buy all the Bitcoin, yeah, right? Because we've gone past 51% attack, right? So forget the technological attack, right? So if someone tries to now buy all the Bitcoin, yeah, right? Eat Bitcoin, right? So eat myself, basically. So if somebody now, again, BlackRock decides, hey, I'm holding all the Bitcoin, we want to destroy Bitcoin, so we're going to burn it all. What's going to happen, yeah, to the price of Bitcoin? Yeah, right? They're going to have to print a hell of a lot more money, right? You understand, right? Like, and now let's say that they say, we're just going to hodl it all, right? They've still got to print a hell of a lot more money to be able to keep up with all of the other transactions that are happening within the ecosystem. Yeah. Right. So they're going to end up sitting on a bag of Bitcoin. Right. And then what are they going to say? Oh, we're never going to sell. We're never going to trade with this Bitcoin. We're just going to hold it in a vault forever
But that
and
just
just burn
makes it
it
more
on this.
valuable, Like that's just all that does is reduce supply, which will make it more valuable. And then
Right.
you could go down the argument of then there's not enough to go around,
Yeah,
but
but
it's incredibly
listen.
divisible. You've got more
At
sats.
this point, that BlackRock, let's say, were to, or anybody, any entity, I don't want to blame BlackRock. I'm just saying, any entity was to do this, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, only two things is possible, right? Because the sats are now at that point going to be worth so much that like one sat is going to be worth £10, right? £100, right? Yeah, right. So, bye bye fiat, isn't it? Right? Like two, was it two? Quadrillion 20 21 quadrillion, no, 2 quadrillion 100 trillion satoshis, right? There is, right? More money than the world's ever seen, right? At $1 a Bitcoin, right? At $1 a satoshi, sorry. Yeah, right? So there's still more than enough money to go around, right? First of all. And secondly, if you're really going to hodl all the Bitcoin like that till there's not enough money to go around, what do you think
Wait.
people will do? Innovate, right? Like there'll be another Satoshi, right? Like, and someone will innovate something else to use,
I don't want
right?
to get technical, but you could, I mean, in theory, soft fork, hard fork, make it more divisible, then you've got more again. Like it's there's
That's
the
my
base
point, though. There's still something else that people could use, right? So what does that leave BlackRock doing? It leaves them holding a bag of Bitcoin that is not now no longer worth anything because nobody uses it anymore, right?
Yeah, like you've lost your network effect. By destroying it, you destroy yourself because
Right.
the network effect is also partly its value. And if you get rid of that,
Exactly.
you screw
Exactly.
yourself. Also, if you're holding it and not spending it, you do actually you can't eat. You can't live under
Can't
a
pay
roof.
bills,
Yeah, what
of
do you
course.
do? You're gonna live for free? I don't
Exactly,
think
and
anyone's gonna do that.
again, just to take it from the perspective of, hey, BlackRock are evil. They're coming here to buy all the Bitcoin to take over a Bitcoin, right? Just taking it from that perspective again, right? How do they then pay bills? They don't. They have to then urge the central bank, right, for more money. They have to then. Central bank has to then go to the Federal Reserve, for more money, and more money gets printed again, right? And the more money gets printed, the more the sats are worth. So the more that you're holding on, the bag that they're holding on to, right, is worth more and more and more in fiat. Nobody's accepting fiat anymore. So where's the fiat going apart from just into their imaginary machine, right? That is supposedly going to be buying sats off of people. But people at that point will not be selling sats, right? Yeah, people will just be using sats, right? So again, like Bitcoin is so genius in that way because, again, the cat's out the bag. You can't get it back into the bag. There's no picking up the pieces of this one, right?
You can copy the code if someone, well, if you can somehow destroy it, different protocol, same name, different protocol. Completely start again, which wouldn't be the ideal situation, but it is also a good, it's a prevention for someone to ever attack it in the first place, if you know what I mean.
Exactly that. Exactly that. And it's good to see as well that you're, again, at your age, so knowledgeable in this stuff. And that's what we
Thank you,
need.
man.
We need more young people who are
That's what I'm saying.
encouraging other young people that, hey, this is not really that hard to learn. If you actually learn about it, that this is building for like when we're their age. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? And older and our children, right? And so on and so forth. And I don't think that by saying that, again, I don't want to dismiss the fact that there are ways to teach the older generations as well, right? Because as I said, like that doctor, right? Like with the older generations, it's them asking the questions. Don't get me wrong, because they're older, they're a lot less, they're a lot less susceptible to change. So they're like, hey, well, I've lived my life like this and, I've got enough money and, whatever else, right? But I think what it is it's kind of talking to them about how they can help to affect change for future generations, and how that previously, because, my mum says this stuff like that, like the government, they're never going to change, they're going to keep doing the same thing, blah, 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 right? So it's like, but how can you ensure that in your lifetime, that you can affect some part of that change, right? And I think when you speak to them on that level, then they want to have more of a grasp of understanding for it, especially when they're able to understand that they can. This is something that they can leave for loved ones that is going to acquire value over time, rather than just be like, hey, some money that they're just gonna frivolously spend, or something like that. So yeah.
It is important. We do need more people that are younger. We're having everything set up for us right now. We've got all of the, what, 30 to 60-year-olds, 25 to 60-year-olds, and well, realistically, it's gonna, if it does work, it'll be us that really benefit from it. I think we need to be a little bit more involved. But to be fair, like at school now, like you said, I didn't learn anything about money. I mean, I did economics at A level, and not a mention of anything apart from the fiat standard. You don't t you No one mentions gold. Like that's supposed to be higher education. You don't it's yeah Like I learned more in 3 months of leaving school and reading Bitcoin books. You
Yeah.
more than I ever learned in however many years I was at school, which is outrageous, to be honest.
And it's and that's what I'm saying. It's very important that you speak to that. You know, you speak to that amongst people of your age group. You know, and just say to you and say that, look, you know, I did actually this study, right, on money, right, and you know, this is how it kind of works out. So I'd love to get like a group of kind of 16-plus-year-olds going down like Austrian economics route, you know, and reading around that stuff. But as I said, there's a few things that are available.
I looked it up. There's one school in the UK and I've got a tab. It is Wilmington Grammar School.
Yeah, that is where I believe it is Huxley that does the course down there. Yeah, but they do me premier Bitcoin down there. Yeah, it's adapted to you know, like a UK version. So
That's cool. I really like that.
that's really, really cool. And then the other thing, as I was saying to you, what I worked on with some of the partners from Stacks and my partner in Stacks London was getting actually an accredited like Bitcoin course inserted into a master's degree, right? So that just finished at Greenwich University. And those people, as part of their masters, you know, one of the modules is Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin Primer. So learning Bitcoin L1, how to set up Bitcoin in a development environment, and then Bitcoin Stacks, using Stacks as a layer two for Bitcoin and setting up a business, or you know, building smart contracts with Bitcoin using Stacks, right? So that's definitely what I want to see more of, you know, like I want to see more of the mainstream education institutions pick up a lot more on Bitcoin-focused stuff and not just go, hey, we're just teaching blockchain. Like, I've challenged so many of them, right? They go, oh, yeah, we've got a blockchain course. We've got a blockchain course. And then I'd speak to them for 10 minutes and I go to them, okay, so what can you show me, like, the framework of your blockchain course? And they go, oh, yeah, so we speak, like, for 10 minutes at the beginning about the history of blockchain, and we say, yeah, Bitcoin started at this day. It's created by Satoshi Nakamoto. There's 21 million Bitcoin ever to be in existence, and Bitcoin was the start of this revolution. Then we speak about everything else for the next 6 weeks. And you're like, what? What? What, bro?
Just leave out the most important bit. Like, that's fine.
Right? So I'm like, what I've been challenging them all and saying over the past 2.5, 3, 4 years now, I think, mean longer than that, right? But like, is, hey, like, nobody sends their child to nursery and then their child comes back and goes, hey, mom, this morning they started with 1 plus 1. And by the time we got to the afternoon, we were doing full algebraic equations. Bro, what are you talking about? Do you understand? Like, hey, like, and that's why I said, like, I focused on Bitcoin ecosystem, because focusing on Bitcoin only is too skewed. Yeah. If you focus on Bitcoin only, right, then what you're doing is you can only then teach the first part, right? Yeah. Whereas if your Bitcoin ecosystem, we can speak about Bitcoin as it started, Bitcoin as it's developed, and then speak about what Bitcoin is today and how Bitcoin is the crypto ecosystem. Yeah, right. You know, so again, I'm pretty aligned with the phrase, you know, Bitcoin not crypto. Yeah, 'cause I get it, right? I get it. But remember, you know, Bitcoin is still a cryptocurrency, right? Technically, right?
Technically, yeah,
It's the
technically.
first cryptocurrency, right? So I think the way forward, as I said, is always teaching with that Bitcoin first. People will tell you, like, right, people that know me, right, I cannot stand it, right, when people start teaching and they're like, hey, yeah, so you know, this all started with Bitcoin back in 2009, and you know, like, hey, you know, and then, hey, so then now we're gonna do NFTs. No, bro, no, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna talk about colored coins, we're gonna talk about name coin, we're gonna talk about why Ethereum was proposed. We're going to talk about why Ethereum was knocked back. We're going to talk about what happened during the ICO phase of Ethereum. Yeah, and what was actually happening for Bitcoin during that period of time? What had developed? Because as I say to a lot of people think that the change happens kind of like Ethereum, and then like that's it. But really and truthfully, the big thing that changed Bitcoin during that time period, apart from the block size wars, right? So apart from the block size wars and SegWit, right? Was USDT, yeah, right? More than it was Ethereum. And the reason why I say that is because I speak to people all the time and I say to them that USDT changed the pairs that you have. So the average guy comes in, he doesn't understand, like nine decimal fucking figures, right? And he's like, hey, I need to see this in 1.00, yeah, please show me in a dollar a stable a coin, right? That's why they created Devo, right? Yeah, so that hedge fund managers, all of these guys with big dough, could actually do the maths, right? Do you understand, right? So Tether comes in, and since Tether comes in, lots of money comes into the space, but also we have lots of trading pairs for Tether. If you remove Tether from the equation, what has the most L1 trading pairs? Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin still has the most trading pairs between each L1. So in that sense, right, Bitcoin again is the where everything enters the actual real ecosystem, right? Like, so before that, you're kind of like, if we called everything, let's say we called everything in the crypto world some kind of Bitcoin layer or some kind of entry to Bitcoin, you're going hop, 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 until eventually you realize, yeah, that hey, all this cashing back out into fiat is not helping me. It's not kind of the way I thought it was going to go. Hey, Bitcoin's not going to dump forever. It's not going to go back down to 1K, right? Bam. So I'm going to end up now here in Bitcoin. And now you're in the center of the thing. Now, if we look at that from that center going outwards, what we have now, which we didn't have, let's say, maybe 10 years ago, was it was normally Bitcoin, then Ethereum, and everything else, right? Or Bitcoin and then Dash, or Bitcoin and then Litecoin. What we now have is Bitcoin, all of this other stuff around Bitcoin. Then you have Litecoin, Dash, Monero, and everything else that is, another chain, right? It's beautiful shit, right? Like, because we're at a stage right now where, as I said, you don't have to leave Bitcoin to do anything with Bitcoin at this moment in time. So I think that is what speaks a true testament to the people that are going to be coming in, right? They're all going to end up here one way or another. All
Eventually,
roads lead to Bitcoin.
eventually, yeah. Superior money entirely.
That's it.
To be
That's exactly
honest,
it.
yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
I've had a great time. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's been
me
fun.
too as well.
Sick.
Me too as well. Really interesting questions. And as I said, like you're very knowledgeable. I've not come
Thank
across
you.
an 18-year-old that is like, yeah.
We need more. We
Yeah,
need a lot more. And we'll get there eventually. Yeah,
definitely.
sick. Thank you very much. Yeah.
No
It was
worries.
nice chatting to you. And hopefully we'll
Yes.
stay in touch and all of that. Do you want to just plug all your stuff?
Oh yeah, like I'm not. I don't really super plug things, yeah. Like, but if you want to follow me, you can find me on Twitter at Big R Pick. So that's BIGRPIC. If you want to find out more about what we're doing with 2140 Art and 2140 Music, is 2140 underscore no 2140 Art underscore on Twitter. And the two websites are 2140art.com or music.2140art.com, and both of those will take you to each respective site. We have got a Telegram community as well for 2140 Music. So if you are a musician, you're in the music space, you're just a music lover and you want to discover new musicians, please join the community. We're trying to help it to grow as much as possible.
Sick. Cool.
Thank you very much
Yeah.
for having me
Thank
on.
you. Yeah. All right. See you some point soon.
Yeah,
In a
cool
bit.
one.
Cheers.
Take it easy.